So I just want to talk to you about this reading that we just heard from the gospel, the book of Job, rather, which is at the end. It's the final little narrative piece of the gospel of Job, which has gone on for many, many chapters, as you know, with Job's friends arguing with him and Job's friends arguing with God. And I just want to talk to you today about a couple things. And this is a counterintuitive thing to say, is that what we learn from suffering, is, not that it's a great way to learn, but what we do learn from suffering. And also what kind of people we become as a result of suffering, and what do we learn specifically from our God Jesus in his suffering that we can incorporate into our lives. So there's a woman by the name of Kate Bowler, and Kate Bowler has a very prestigious kind of position. She teaches church history at Duke University, which is kind of like an Ivy League university in the southern states. So she's got it's a pretty important job, which is kind of a big deal. But at the age of 35, Kate Bowler discovered that she developed stage 4 intestinal cancer, which was a very young age. She had a very young child. And so she said her first reaction of this, of course, was to kind of, she said she made herself very small. You know, she kind of found herself kind of crouching and crying and calling out to her husband for some support. But she said she was really shocked that one of her first reactions to learning that she was so ill, and I need to add, she's in remission now, but to finding out that she was so ill was to say to herself, I can't believe that I have just published a book with the title of Blessing. And here I am with this. And specifically what she was doing is she did a thorough research project of what's called the American Prosperity Gospel. And not to caricature it, because there are good things to it. You know, it has positive effect on people's lives, but kind of the negative side of it in a way is the idea is that if you have enough faith and you kind of do the right things and you pray the right way, then your life is going to be a kind of cornucopia, right? It's going to be, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be healthy, you know, your life is going to go extremely well. You're going to be happy if you're just going to do the right things and have the right kind of faith and the right kind of attitude. And not to patronize this, because, you know, there's many parts of the world in which people need to know that they can make an effect in their lives. You know, that's understandable. But nonetheless, there's some negative parts. As I said, she said during her research, she spent a lot of time with people who were very much formed by that prosperity gospel. I have family members myself, have been for that matter. And she got to know these people and got to appreciate them. But she said it was very strange for her, this kind of idea that God is just going to open this cornucopia all the time if you're faithful, because she grew up with Mennonites in rural Manitoba. And she said there's three things you can say about Mennonites in rural Manitoba. And it's this: they believe in simplicity, they believe in pacifism, and they believe that you should not envy too much your neighbor's fancy new John Deere camp combine. Those are kind of three moral codes that they live by. So she said when she went to the States, and it's not just an American thing anymore, not just to pick on the poor Americans, but it was a real contrast for her going to this Mennonite community in rural Manitoba, and then going to the southern states. And it just in terms of attitude, and this is what she said, this is America, where there are no setbacks, there are just setups. There are no tragedies, there are just tests of character. And again, it's probably just not Americans anymore. This has probably affected us as well. Well, but she said, this is why a neighbor so quickly showed up at her door after her diagnosis and said to her husband, you know what, not to be too hard on her, because we all say dumb things when people are sick, you know, we all do, because we don't know what to say. But she knocked on his door and she said to him, everything happens for a reason. And his response, being a sardonically natured person from Southern Manitoba, his response was, I'd love to hear it. And she goes, pardon me. And she goes, he goes, yeah, I'd love to hear the reason why my wife is dying. If everything happens for a reason, please just share with me the reason why this is happening. She said one of the most, she said saddest and also most touching things about the people that were close to her was people's attempts to make sense of her sickness. You know, so she said all her educated friends would like Google like crazy, right? Try and find the answer. And, you know, people would be trying to get her to eat the right amount of kale salad. You'd be doing everything they can, not out of bad nature, out of concern. But she said underneath all their questions and they're trying to figure things out, what she perceived was one fundamental question. And the question is this, do I have any control? You know, I see that this has happened to you, but do I have any control of my own life to stop this tragedy from happening? I.e., how do I stop this from happening to myself? Do I have any control? I think in this sense, we can all, you know, it's easy to pick on Job's friends, but I think we can all kind of empathize with them in a way. Job's three or four friends. They've been pretty busy arguing with Job that maybe they have an underlying sense of that things need to be in control. And they've been doing a very good job of arguing with Job that he must have done something wrong. It's been going on for chapters and chapters. They kind of have their own version of the prosperity gospel in a way, which is that if people live righteously and they do things right, all will go well. If people do things that are sinful, all will go badly. And again, that's not unhelpful in a lot of ways, because it's good to plan your life. It's good to be righteous. But these guys have got this down in a very kind of mathematical kind of formula sort of way. And let's be clear about this. If you've read through the book of Job, and you read through the start, you're kind of going, yeah, it kind of seems like that's the way Job was thinking himself at the beginning of this story. That is, you know, he could just as easily have been putting people in their place too. He had a very, as he said, kind of a suspicious attitude towards people, and maybe felt like he was one of the righteous and that he was blessed with God's cornucopia kind of best. But if your life has been full of suffering, as you know, we all end up with periods of suffering ourselves, one way or another. One of the things that you discover very closely is that things are not that clear. And we can see this in Job himself, that throughout this course of this story, and we're now at the end of it, Job has changed. And it's a story about Job, but it's also a story about us and how we change through the experience of suffering. Number one, Job is righteous, probably sees things the way his friends does, kind of has his own version of the prosperity gospel in a way. But number two, he finds himself in the realm of experience. And that is not just a theory. He finds himself in the realm of really deep, personal, and unexplainable suffering. Number two, he goes to his friends who are all coming to the door and saying to him, everything must happen for a reason, and you must have done something to bring this on to yourself. And he refuses to accept this. And throughout the entire book, he's arguing not with his friends, he's arguing with God himself. Sometimes crying for compassion, sometimes arguing. The important part is he never gives up the dialogue. I know I often talk to people and they'll say, well, I just gave up talking to God. Well, Job never gives up talking, even if it's in the form of demand and argument. Show up, Job says again and again, and explain yourself to me. If I've done something wrong, put me in a trial and let me know what it is. Job just keeps talking. Number three, Job meets God himself. He says at the end, we heard this today, before I had heard of thee by name, but now I have met thee face to face. He's gone from, a realm of theory about, he's gone from a realm of theory about people's suffering, about what brings us on, into his own suffering. He's gone from a realm of theory about what God is like to actually meeting God himself in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his furnace that he's gone through. And he has come out a different man. It's easy to miss some of the ways as how different he is. Unlike his friends, who've got all the answers, which he used to have himself, he's come out a different man in a couple ways. One is, as I said, he says to God, yeah, and I've heard of you, but now I've seen you. And I've heard of suffering, but now I've experienced personally. Two, as a result of that, he seems to have become a much more compassionate person. I don't know if you've experienced this yourself, but if you've gone through a time of really intense suffering, it kind of gives you a lot more compassion for other people. You know, especially if it's even sometimes a bit self-inflicted, you go, yeah, I don't think I'm going to judge people as much as I used to. So he becomes a more compassionate person. We see him sacrificing for his friends at the end, who have been driving him crazy and tormenting him. All these chapters, he very compassionately sacrifices for his friends. And this would be easy to miss. It's the way he names his children at the end of the story. So God gives him new children at the end of the story. We don't need to worry about, you know, what happened to the old children, new children. It's kind of more, this is more of a parable in a sense, but God gives him new children at the end of the story. And he does something very strange. You live 1500 BC, let's say, and you're going to tell a story about your life and your children. What you're going to do is two things. One is, you're going to name your sons because sons are more important. And number two, you're going to give your sons an inheritance, right? What does Job do? Who does he name? Anybody pick up on that? Who he gives names to?
The women.
It's the women. He gives names to the women. A weird thing to do in 1500 BC. It is a very odd thing to do. And the other thing, it says, he gives an inheritance to who? Again, to the girls, right? And you're going, I don't know what's happened to this very conventional, somewhat almost suspicious and narrow-minded, highly, nothing wrong with being conventional, but highly conventional person in a very constricting way. But something sure has changed with this guy, because his neighbors would be all looking at him and going, are you out of your mind? What are you doing? So how do you explain this? It's meant to shock the people who were reading this originally. How do you explain his behavior? How do you explain how much he's changed? How much he's become such a different person from the end of the story, the beginning of the story to the end of the story? Well, as I said, have you ever noticed yourself that when you go through a time of suffering, a couple things happen? Just a reminder again. One is, if you've suffered a lot yourself, you sure become a lot more compassionate, don't you? Would you say that's true? That builds a lot of empathy and compassion in you when you've been through a lot of suffering yourself. Because before, it's kind of hypothetical. Oh, people are suffering, blah, 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 blah. When you've been through it yourself, you go, oh, okay, I get this. Number two, again, you do become a lot less judgmental of people. You don't go, oh, I wonder what they've done to bring this on themselves, right? So that I don't have to worry to bring this on myself. If I can just figure what it is, they did this to bring them on themselves, I'll make sure I don't bring that on myself. You know, and you realize, yeah, it's not that simple. So you kind of stop judging other people so much. And number three, I guess the way to summarize it all up is, as horrible a thing as suffering is, and sometimes I know it's at the point where it feels like it absolutely breaks you and there's no bottom. But one of the things suffering can do, to generalize, it just makes you more human. Wouldn't you say that's true? It just makes you more human. So this phrase has really stuck in my mind from when I was studying theology back in the day. And it's this: Jesus, who is God, is not less human than us. He's not a superhero, right? Jesus, who is God, is not less human than us. He is more human than us. He's entered more deeply into our suffering. He's entered more deeply into compassion. He's entered more deeply into lack of judgment. He understands more what it's like to be a human being than we understand what it's like to be a human being. What are his final words on the cross? I hate all of you. Look at this horrible thing you've done to me. How dare you? Did I get that quote right? Not so good. Okay, all right. His final words on the cross were, turns to a thief who's rightly being crucified and says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. And then he looks down at the people who are his enemies, who have turned against him and have crucified him. And he says, Lord, rain down your judgment upon these people. Right? What's he say? Father, forgive them.
Give them.
Yeah, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? They don't know what they're doing. So Kate Bowles is still writing. I really want to encourage you to find her writing. It's up in the New York Times. She's written a little bit. She's written a book. I really want to encourage you to look at it. And she has a podcast. She's in remission. She's still writing. Man, talk about somebody who has learned compassion and lack of judgment. And as a faithful servant of Jesus, it's really quite remarkable. So then let's do the same thing. Let us become compassionate, restrain from judgment, become more human, because that is what God did himself to the point of death in order to find us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.